Well, let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I told you this morning we'd probably be preaching on heaven if the Lord didn't change our mind. That's what we're going to do tonight. Going to preach on heaven. Don't you want to go? Or heaven, ain't you glad you're going tonight? Amen. And I'm glad to be going to heaven. Thank God for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and will rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the singing. I pray that it's honored you. The testifying has honored you. Folk have just wanted to give you glory tonight, but it's preaching time. I pray you'd come by now for a little while, and I pray that you'd help me. I certainly need a touch from heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that we'd preach as you'd have us to tonight, that, Lord, that this message would be a help to your people. And maybe somebody in here that might be lost, that's unsaved. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see heaven tonight. And we sure do love you and thank you for heaven. Thank you for the home that is eternal tonight that we have in you. Help those that need help. Let this message be an encouragement tonight. For these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As the Apostle Paul is opening this chapter right here in 2 Corinthians 5, he tells us, and I always like that word know. He says, for we know. That means you know something tonight. You know, just like in little John, 1 John 5 and verse 13, when he said that you may know that you have eternal life. Right here, he wants us to understand something about this body and the new body that we're going to have in heaven. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle word is of. He's talking about the body that you're in right now. As I was doing the graveside for my uncle there, we preached out of 1 Corinthians 15, the middle part of the chapter. But I come to this scripture and I reminded him that a tabernacle is no more than a tent. And notice what he said right here. He said, if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So while we're down here, we have a tabernacle. We're living in a tent. But over there, we've got a house. What we have over there is far better than what we have over here tonight. Thank God tonight that for what we have over here. Now, some people believe that in soul sleep, but I don't believe you can take a King James Bible and prove to me that in soul sleep. A lot of people think when you die, you just go to the ground and at the resurrection you'll be brought up. No, sir, friend. The Bible said in verse 8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord tonight. Now, we find that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 was called up into the third heavens. We understand that. The first heaven is what we see. The second heaven is where the outer space, where the other worlds, where the other planets are. That's what I was looking for, planets. Where the other planets are. And we can't see. The Bible talks about how that God just lays out there and cuts His glory off. But in the third heaven, Paul was caught up into the third heaven. The Bible said that he heard things, didn't talk about him seeing things, said that he heard things that was unlawful to utter. And I believe that helped Paul to be caught up into the third heavens. Listen, he was stoned there at Lystra. And I believe that's the time in Acts 14 when he was stoned at Lystra, that when he was caught up into the third heaven. And I'm glad God can give us some knowledge about something and open the scripture to us and let us see some things. What do you mean? The Bible said, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But then he said in the very next verse, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I'm glad tonight that he can open this book and open our heart and let us see some things about what's going on over in the glory world tonight. Now you realize tonight that the Bible does not tell us a whole lot about what's going on in heaven tonight. I know I've got a message on, I reckon, what's going on in heaven today. And I'd be honest with you about what all I've told you in that message is about it tonight. I believe that they're with him. I believe they're in a place of comfort and rest. I believe they're in a place where there's praise tonight over there. And I don't know a lot of other about what's going on. But I tell you tonight, they're not hurting. And they're at the glory of God tonight. And they're where he is. Amen. And if you're saved tonight, that's where we're going one day after a while. But heaven, don't you want to go? First of all, number one, it's a place where Christ is. It's a place where Christ is. If you look in verse 8, he said, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Do you realize that when Christ went back, I mean, when he come here, he died. And listen, the Bible said, who is he that first ascended but descended? Well, let's look at that. Ephesians 4. I want to get that right. I can't get that thing quoted tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, is where we need to be at on that, where he talks about that. Now, wherefore in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended? Here we go. First, in the lower parts of the earth, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Hey, I'm glad tonight that when he came, he come here, he descended from heaven. But friend, when they killed him and he laid his life down at Calvary, listen, I believe he descended into the innermost parts of the earth. I believe that's where he picked up paradise at, and he led captivity captive, and he took it back to heaven with him. Hey, listen tonight, I'm glad tonight that heaven is the place where Christ is tonight. Bible said in Acts chapter 7, and when Stephen was being stoned, the Bible said, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I'm glad tonight that's where he is. Some of you all just bragged on him a few minutes ago. Some of you all just talked about how good he had been to you. I talked about what he had done for you. Hey, friend, don't that make you want to go and that be with him tonight? You know, the only way to get to heaven is to be saved tonight. That's the only way you can get there. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way you can get to heaven. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He is the door. Listen, he's the one that opened the door at Calvary. He made and built the bridge. And that between him and God, between us and God, by himself. I mean, there's only one mediator between man and God. Between men and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Hey, I'm glad tonight he made a way for us to get to heaven. I'm glad this ain't it. I'm glad this ain't it. Friend, I'm telling you, Stephen, I saw heavens open and saw him standing. I don't know why he was standing. There's a lot of speculation of why he was standing on the right hand of the Father, because the Bible tells us in a lot of other places he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Some people say he might want him to come back. I don't know. Some people say that he stood to receive Stephen, or maybe to look over the portals of glory and to see what was going on. Stephen was really the first martyr in that for the Lord Jesus Christ to give his life and that for him. But we should have a desire and that to be where he is tonight. You know, the Bible said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. You know, tonight I have a desire to go be with him. I have since I'm risen with him, if you then be risen with him, listen, everything we ought to look toward is toward heaven tonight. Our desire ought to be toward heavenly things. Now, some people say, I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. Now, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. I think we ought to be heavenly minded. But you know what? We ought to be willing to serve the Lord and do what he'd have us to do. He said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. With Christ in God. When Christ, who's our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Tonight, I'm glad he's in glory tonight. And that's where we're headed tonight. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I just want to be where he's at tonight. I want to be with him. I want to be where he is. And listen, is that not like Legion? When Legion got saved, you remember when Legion in Mark 5 got saved? He wanted to go get on the pool and be with Jesus. But you know what the Lord told him to do? He said, go home. He said, go home and tell them what great things I have done for you. You know, we want to go home and be with him tonight. We want to go to heaven tonight. We want to get on the boat with him tonight. But he's left us here for a reason, hadn't he? And that's to tell of the great things that the Lord has done tonight. Now, I know heaven's my home. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life that they sung about tonight because he's the one that made me free. Listen, I'm glad for that tonight. But listen, until he comes and gets us, whether by the rapture of the church or whether through death, then we're to tell people the good things that he's done for us tonight. When's the last time you ever told anybody about what Christ done? About how that he died for sinners. That he would save sinners. When's the last time we've done that? When's the last time we've witnessed anybody? When's the last time that we started with our family that maybe somebody on the job, we got a burden for somebody on the job? When's the last time we done that? Well, I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, I know we have a desire to be in heaven. I understand it. You know, a lot of people, they're so rooted down here. They're saved, but man, they're so carnal. They don't think about heaven. And I mean, they're sold out in carnality. And they never think about spiritual matters, it seems. That they're just happy to be saved. Now, I'm happy to be saved. But I think Brother Ralph had it right in revival. If that's all you're concerned about, I'd wonder if you're saved or not tonight. Because when the Holy Spirit come in, you know, he talked about giving us the earnest of the Spirit over here in verse 5. By the way, according to Ephesians 1, when you got saved, you got the earnest of the Spirit. Hey, the Holy Spirit come and resides on the inside. It ought to make a difference in you, but then it ought to help you and that serve Christ tonight. Well, people say, I'm just happy to go to heaven. Well, I'm happy to go to heaven too, but man, while we're here, we ought to be serving him tonight. But we are confident, I say, and wouldn't rather be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. I'm glad tonight that it's the place where Christ is. And that's where we're headed tonight. It's a perfect place. It's a good place. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But I'm glad of that tonight. Number two, it's a prepared place for his children. You remember what he said in John chapter 14? You know, just as sure as hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you're unsaved tonight, that's where you're going to die and go is to hell. And so I'd encourage you to get saved tonight. And then death and hell is going to be called up, according to Revelations over there, and they're going to be cast out into an eternal lake of fire forever and ever. But just as sure as the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, heaven's prepared for his children tonight. You know, he said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I really believe that that place of preparation is talking about heaven. I do. I don't understand. You know, heaven is not hastily thrown together. You know, when you look and talk about the Old Testament, the way that they done the marriage back in the day and the marriage supper and all those things, that bridegroom, he would get his bride ready. And they would have an engagement, if I could say that. And while she was waiting on the bridegroom to come, he would go get everything ready. He would go get the house ready. He would make sure everything was just perfect and that for the marriage that they were going to have. And so when it was time and she was still working on her marriage garment, on her wedding dress, one day the bridegroom would come and they'd get married. Why? Because he had everything prepared. Them disciples knew what he meant and what he was told. I think we miss that tonight a lot. Listen, he's went and received a kingdom, and one day he's coming back to get us, to take us out to the place that he's prepared for us tonight. So what are they doing in heaven tonight? I don't know, but I know that's where Christ is, and I know it's a place that he's prepared. You remember the thief that hung on the cross with the Lord Jesus? You remember what he said when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom"? What did he say? "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Man, that just blows soul sleep right out of the water, don't it? He didn't say, "Well, today you'll be in the ground and you'll see me one day." That ain't what he said. Or you'll come up in the resurrection here. No, listen, he said that today that shall be with me in prayer. Hey, I'm telling you tonight that there is a place prepared for God's children when they leave here tonight. I'm glad of that tonight. He's promised to prepare us a place, but he's promised to come and get us again. You say, how's all that work, preacher? How does somebody get to heaven? You got to leave this earth to get to heaven. A lot of people just can't stand leaving this earth. They, like I said, they're so carnal, they don't want to turn loose of this place. They've got so many. Listen, I understand young couples and that trying to raise families and all those. I get that. I understand that. But I'm telling you what. I'm just telling you tonight that heaven is a far better place than down here tonight. It's a perfect place. It's a good place. Listen, I'm glad tonight that it was not hastily thrown together, that me and you were thought about while he's making heaven tonight. We're on his mind tonight while he's making heaven. He's going to come again and get us. He said right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when we go over there and we look at the rapture, what we call the rapture of the church, or the catching away, or the calling away. He tells us in verse or chapter 15, and starting in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I really believe Paul thought he was going out in the rapture. I do, Brother Jeremy. I really believe that Paul thought he was going out, because he said that we shall be changed. And then you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he's talking about the rapture over there, and then we which are alive and remain. You remember what he said? He thought he'd remain in that till the rapture. He said, verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is law. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, he's coming. He's going to change us one day, ain't he? Little John, 1 John chapter 3, says that we're going to have a body that's likened unto his. Now, I don't know what they got over there today, but according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I don't know what they got over there, but I know they got something. I don't think they're just floating around out in space. I don't believe that tonight. I believe they got some kind of body over there. And you say, "Well, what is it?" They ain't got a clue, friend. I really don't. But I know this tonight, that he's made the promise that he'll come again and get us, and we'll go be with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 And boy, he said, you know, at the end of this, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, in verse 13, these are covenant words of 1 Thessalonians 4. He said, but I don't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Talking about those that are dead in him, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. Boy, he got to talk about that hope tonight. Zachary did, didn't he? Talking about the hope that we have in Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, and you've trusted him, that's it. That's what it takes to get saved tonight. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to where he is. Going to be with him. I've told you them stories about the train and about the big truck that came by the house the other day. I'm serious, church. You don't think I am, but I ain't kidding. When that truck came by the house and was laying down on that air horn, I thought I was leaving here. Amen. I thought, man, it's just like he said it's going to be. Man, somebody's blowing a trumpet. Amen. You know, the thing about heaven is it's a place where Christ is, and it's prepared for his children. But you know, it's parting will never come there. We'll never have to say goodbye again. And that's the great thing about heaven. That's the great thing about heaven. Because you go look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the middle part of that, he says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And as a preacher and as pastor in this church, I've stood in so many receiving lines. I've preached so many funerals over the years. If you ain't careful, you become cold and callous to a little bit of that stuff. You get around death so much sometimes. But I'm glad that heaven is a place where there'll be no more funeral homes. There'll be no more receiving lines. There'll be no more hearses that have to haul bodies to the graveyard. That'll never, ever have to be worried about again. I remember years ago, we were up in Indiana, and I was playing mandolin with a little old group, and we went up to sing up there, and it was for a camp meeting style meeting, and them four boys, they'd asked them to sing that song, Glory Land. The Primitive Quartet sings, you know. And I remember, bless their heart, they done the best they could, and I couldn't have done no better either. But I remember they butchered that song. I remember that very much. You know, Glory Land, that song is talking about heaven, about those that's on the other side. And boy, there'll be no coffins over there. And that's where Jesus is going to be, and he's the light of that city. And I remember that they butchered that song. But I remember back here, it seems like it's back in the back of the church. They had some deaf folk back there. And the girl that was signing to them, she was signing that song to them. And she said, while them boys were singing that song, said they were back there signing hallelujah and praise the Lord. And they were just having a time thinking about what heaven was going to be like. Sometimes we miss what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be a perfect place, a place of no death. I get so tired. And I know that the older I get, the worse it's going to get. But I get so tired of getting a phone call and saying this one's passed away. Or that one has left us. I went back. We've been doing some rearranging in my study, and we found some sleeves of CDs, and one of the inside of one of them sleeves was all the special singing from revival that we had back in 2007 when Brother Couch came and preached a revival for us, and in that CD I found Miss Sue and Miss Carla singing. And I told my wife, I said, I've got that ready to go on the radio. Now, we're going to put them back on the radio. Man, it was such a blessing to hear them sing again. It really was. I miss them. I miss hearing Miss Sue sing. I miss them getting up here and singing. Her and Miss... And listen, one of the hardest things, that Brother Frankie and Miss Sue ever done was to say goodbye to Miss Carla. I mean, that was hard. I mean, that took its toll on Brother Frankie especially. I mean, y'all may not understand that or know that, but it really did of what happened right there. And you know what? They're all over together. So do you believe that? I believe that. I believe there was a great reunion day that took place when they got over there. But boy, what a blessing it was to go back and hear them sing. I'll be honest with you now, look. Standing and preaching in funerals is not hard because you know where they are. It's in ones you're just unsure about that makes it tough. But we're still going to miss them. I hate dealing with death. I'll be honest with you. But that's part of living tonight. But it's a place where we'll never say goodbye because there'll be one eternal day over there. It's a place where there is no more suffering. You realize that, don't you? Those over in heaven tonight are not suffering. Ain't that wonderful to know? Well, that mama that you put in the grave because she had cancer, she ain't got cancer no more. Boy, that one that was sick, listen, that you watch leave out of here, they're not sick anymore. Man, that's just good to think about tonight. Boy, thank God for a place that is perfect tonight, that will never be separated again, that friend, that parting's never going to come again, will never say goodbye anymore. I stood up there at the gravestone or up there in the cemetery Thursday. And I remember looking at my family. And I'd already thought about what I was going to say and how to start. Because sometimes you just don't know how to start something. And here's what I said when I got started. I said, well, family, we have come as far as we can go. Sitting under that little undertaker's tent is as far as you can go. You can't go no more. That's it. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to do. There's no other places to go. But I am so glad we had went as far as we could go, but that wasn't the end of it. I'm glad that when a loved one who is saved and we're saved, I'm glad that it's not goodbye. We sing that song out of the old Redback book, I Will Meet You in the Morning. And I'm glad that's what it is. But it's a perfect place. Number four, its perfection will continue. What do you mean? Notice what he said in verse 1. I'm not even touched on a lot of this tonight, but he said, and we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That perfect place that we're going to is eternal. It'll never end. Everything down here will end. But there's coming one perfect day where we'll be with the Lord. You're talking about time. I preached on that here sometime, maybe 6 months ago, 4 months ago, something like that, out of the book of the Revelations, chapter 4 and chapter 5, where, man, we're just going to, our praise and worship will be right. And I'm glad of that tonight. It's eternal. Heaven, don't you want to go? You got to be saved to get there. You got to have your name in the record book. And the only way to do that is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Since we're going, don't you want to serve Him? When we get there, don't you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I want to be waiting and watching for him. What a place heaven's going to be. I'm thankful for heaven tonight. Let's bow our heads this evening.